Well, folks, out of respect for the commissioner, I'd like to get started, even though we do not have quorum yet. But we'll get started. And commissioners, thank you for coming today. If you want to step up to the stand, we can't officially call the meeting to order. But when I do have all the folks here, I'll interrupt you if you don't mind, and we'll get the business of the day taken care of. So I think we're getting close. We have quorum. Excellent. So I stalled long enough to get us going. Members, I'm going to call the State Government Finance Committee to order. In your packets, you have the minutes from March 1st. If Representative Omar wants to move the minutes from March 1st. So. Representative Omar moves the minutes from March 1st. All those in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the minutes are adopted. Members, in your packets, you have a series of handouts. One is from the bill from last year, and it's dealing with the law that we passed allowing for the Department of Administration to charge fees for access to the Capitol. We have asked for the Department of Administration to provide us with a report on this. And so with that, look at your materials in your packet. And then also, Commissioner, if you want to walk us through what has transpired over the last couple of months, I will start with the fees, and then we'll probably go to the you could probably combine your comments on the wine and malt liquor stuff, too. It's up to you. So, Commissioner, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
Madam Chair and members, thank you, Commissioner Mossman, State Department of Administration, and with me is Deputy Commissioner Lenora Madigan as well. Let me just start, Madam Chair and members. I think there's two essential pieces of background information with regard to the public spaces in the Capitol. State law does not direct how the space within the Minnesota State Capitol will be allocated among tenants. The allocation of space within the Capitol building has historically been guided by a space agreement between the governor, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, as well as Minnesota Statute 16B.24 that direct the State Department of Administration to manage and operate the building. In early 2015, Governor Dayton, Speaker Daudt, and Majority Leader Bach entered into a revised space agreement for the Capitol building. The advisory agreement provided for a substantial increase in public spaces within the building to better accommodate public access to the democratic process in an ever-growing and increasingly diverse state, keeping in mind, of course, that the entire building belongs to the people of Minnesota. The revised space agreement calls upon the Department of Administration to administer the public spaces. The second point for background is that the entire restoration project was overseen by a bipartisan, statutorily established Capital Preservation Commission, which incidentally is scheduled to meet tomorrow morning. With the awareness of the commission, I established a public spaces advisory committee in 2015 to ascertain input and advice on how to use the Capitol building and the public spaces after the completion of the restoration. That advisory committee was also bipartisan and included both House and Senate members and staff and members of the public, and the participation of key state agencies such as DPS, the Cap Board, the Historical Society, and others. The Capitol events fee concept stems from recommendations and input of that public spaces advisory committee. Specific to the capital events fee, the general idea is to allow the people of Minnesota to have access to their building for broader uses, including during hours when the building might otherwise be closed, without an incremental increase in building administration costs being borne by the general taxpayer. At this time, I'd like to just reflect, Madam Chair, specifically, for example, on your comments. The fee is certainly not to generally allow access to the Capitol building. The Capitol building, as you know, formally opened last year with a well-attended state Capitol grand opening, and the primary focus of the building is and will always continue to be, obviously, the public governance and legislative uses of the Capitol and the free speech uses of the Capitol, which there are obviously no fees or no access requirements to the use of the Capitol. The events fee, again, is recommended by the Public Spaces Advisory Committee and was enacted into law last year, as you identified, by the legislature. The idea is that the fee offsets direct costs of making the capital available to Minnesotans, including availability during times, as I said, when the capital might otherwise be closed, and to cover those costs. As such, the fee is intended to offset higher costs for work such as fielding space inquiries from the public, contractual work, and planning, set up, additional costs for granting capital access when it would otherwise be closed, cleanup, longer heating and cooling and lighting periods, as well as an awareness that some of the uses could evolve into more intense use of the space, such as if there was food or, as we'll talk about later, if there was alcohol. Certainly, we anticipate that we will be learning as we go along. As you know, the Capitol only recently opened formally following the grand opening last August, so we have only a few short months of activity, really, to report on and talk about today. I did respond to, Madam Chair, to a request yesterday. We were able to, pull the information together, and just I'll summarize there, and then if there's questions, I'd be happy to take them. The summary of that information is that there's quite an extensive number of events, of course, that have happened in the Capitol, but only a handful of events that were subject to the after-hours and fee charges. At this time, we anticipate that the total of fees is really, we're talking slightly less than $8,000 total for, I believe it's 2, 4, 6, 8 events, it looks like, over the course of the last 6 months of calendar year 2017.
Okay, I have Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for being here today, Commissioner. I had just a couple of questions regarding some of the alcohol provisions that we enacted and then have rolled out. And I ask because there are a lot of Minnesota manufacturers, and I know that we're promoting Minnesota Made. Is there a way that we can make sure that anybody who produces alcohol, malt beverage and wine here in the state, that they have access to being able to be featured here in the Capitol? Because I know that you work with a couple of caterers, and I just wanted to make sure that maybe they made their made it easy for anybody who wanted to be served here at the Capitol to be served.
Commissioner?
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Nash, let me just give a little bit of background. There were two provisions passed in the state government finance bill last year. As you know, I think the omnibus liquor bill provisions were rolled into that bill, and there was one provision that provided for temporary liquor license permits for the City of St. Paul to issue them for the Capitol Grand Opening event itself. That license was to apply to malt liquor, wine, and spirits. Then there was also authority for the City of St. Paul to issue a malt liquor and wine only, not distilled spirits, ongoing permit for the Capitol building. Our contract with the vendor requires that Minnesota Made beer and wine, in the case of the distilled spirits, but on a permanent basis, beer and wine, be what is served. You may be referring, I know there was a slight kerfuffle we had, but I want to be clear about this because actually I think that there is some misinformation that's out there. There was a thank you reception that we had for the sponsors of the grand opening event, at which case we discovered that the vendor was not in full compliance with that expectation, and it was remedied by the next morning. So on the grand opening weekend itself, there were no events that served anything other than Minnesota-made spirits, beer, and wine.
Representative Nash?
Madam Chair and Commissioner, I was going to commend you for fixing that quickly. I know that Representative Loeffler, myself, and Representative Hoppe got calls very quickly, and I thank you for getting that addressed quickly because it was the first implementation, and it was just an honest mistake. But I guess my question is, so we have wineries and breweries all over the state, and I just want to make sure that maybe somebody – up in Duluth has an opportunity to sell their beer here, if that's something that, that is going to happen in the future. I just want to make sure that it isn't maybe only the people in the metro. I want to make sure that it's open to all Minnesota manufacturers. If there's a way, I would really appreciate it, I'm sure, as would all my colleagues, to know that folks in Duluth or down in Worthington, if they have one down there, that they could also be represented at the Capitol.
Madam Chair and Representative Nash, for Minnesotans who might be listening, I think the first thing to kind of, for context here, is to be clear that the Capitol is not becoming a common place where they should expect to have events where alcohol is served or available. So what I think is anticipated over time is that this would be, it's a case-by-case situation, and so and we work through the vendor for that. I think over time, certainly as we learn from experience in terms of the broad, so the short answer to your question is I don't think that the frequency with which this happens is necessarily going to result in the Capitol being a primary venue for what I think is it will be a venue potentially, but probably not the most opportune venue for what I think what you're absolutely right. We have a great and growing Minnesota-made industry in this regard, and so I think that there's a lot of opportunity, and I think to the extent that there are opportunities to feature that, we certainly had an event during the grand opening, for example, that we coordinated with the Minnesota Brewers Guild to sponsor Cap on Tap, which featured Minnesota beers from Grand Marais to the western part of the state, the northwestern part of the state, and all over the metro area, southern Minnesota. So it really did showcase the activity that's happening in Minnesota there. So that is the expectation that we have of the vendor. We do rely on the vendor to source it, so we can work with the vendor to try and see that that be kind of distributed around, but ultimately the arrangement we have in place, then of course we can look at that as the contract moves forward, but we rely on them to source it.
Representative Detmer?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioner. How do you go about determining which group or which groups would be paying a fee? And then, in the same sense, how do you determine if a group would be exempt from the fees?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative Detmer, really good question. And I think that this is yet another area where we will be learning as we go along. Mm-hmm. The current demarcation really is primarily if the event is requested to be held outside of normal business operating hours or if there will be alcohol at the event. Those two things are what we have arranged as being the trigger points because primarily what's been called upon now is if it's happening outside of normal business hours. And the obvious reason for that is because if the Capitol would otherwise be closed, clearly taxpayers are going to incur some minor, oftentimes, expense for just accommodating the building at that time.
Madam Chair, just a quick follow-up on the Commissioner. Like next Monday is the Vets on the Hill Day, and you're going to have hundreds of veterans, military people coming in the rotunda. I'm assuming that there won't be any charge for that. So.
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative, absolutely not, which actually allows me to articulate that when I say outside of normal business hours, I think it's we think of the normal business hours as the business hours that you all think about the building being operated. Because, again, let me reiterate that the deference is always given is the priority is always the legislative process and the governance functions of the. And so even when we have someone who reserves the building for an event, our policies and contract language with them would alert them to the fact that if a special legislative session comes along or whatever be the obvious public purposes for serving the people of Minnesota, that they would risk getting booted from their space.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Kunesh Podi.
Thank you. When liquor is served, is there a security person there, such as a a licensed police officer, and who is responsible for the cost of that?
Commissioner?
Madam Chair and Representative, so we work with the Department of Public Safety on all of the permits that we issue, regardless of whether or not there's alcohol or not, because any lots of times events that are held exterior to the Capitol, like rallies and that sort of thing, also just for the safety of the people who plan on attending the rally and et cetera, a lot of times those groups themselves want to have some security present. And those groups, as part of our policies and the expectation, always bear the cost for that work. That's part of what we do with them. For it really would depend on, it, again, it's a case-by-case situation. I would have to check with my staff, but I think if it's an event that is has 10 people at it and it's, you know, after, I think it really would depend on whether or not there was a there's a need for a security protocol actually on site there. And but we certainly, and we look to the other part of your question is, we have set it up so that the arrangement is actually for food and alcohol beverages, obviously, is between the event user, organizer, and the state vendor, contract vendor. And so they have to work together on making sure those arrangements obviously are compliant with our policies and safe and secure. But if you will, the purchasing arrangement, they have to cover those costs directly from the vendor.
Representative Knesh.
Thank you. I actually ran a banquet hall for 13 years in Northeast Minneapolis. I started it up for the organization and ran it. And so some of the things that you're talking about, I have lived through for a long, long time. Making sure that not only are the people in the party, the celebration party are being are following the rules, but also that there aren't other folks joining from outside, you know, party crashers and that sort of thing. So it would be interesting to see how this formulates as time goes on. And I know at that banquet hall it was a very large one, and so we were able to welcome folks from all different cultures and organizations, some very large groups as well. And I'm wondering if you anticipate that the Capitol becoming kind of a destination place for, you know, it's the people's house. Is this now going to be a really sought-after venue for future events such as weddings and cultural events?
Madam Chair and Representative, thank you for the question, because it gives me an opportunity to, we will learn and adjust over time. But I think to say on the front end, there's not an expectation or intent for this to become a banquet hall. That's not, I appreciate your, where you're coming from. But first of all, I don't actually think it is, accommodating in that way. The spaces, it's a big building, and there's lots of spaces within the building, but depending upon the size of your event, most of the spaces themselves are not actually in a contained way that large. I think really it's more appropriate and more consistent with the vision, as I understood the feedback from the and the guidance from the public spaces working group and our effort to try and put that into practice, is the recognition that to some extent the Capitol has always or often been used for similar events or been available in the past, but it was a bit more of an insider's game, if you will, if you knew about the Capitol or could somehow achieve access for the event you wanted to have. And the idea here really is that it is the people of, it belongs to the people of Minnesota, and it should, that type of activity should just be administered in a way that it is more broadly within obvious sensible parameters, but also more broadly available, so that it's not sort of an exclusive segment of Minnesota, but all of Minnesota that might want to pursue it.
Commissioner, I have a couple of questions for you. Mm-hmm. So I know there's been a little change. Initially, the January 18th letter that I had received didn't list any events from the July 1st to August 1st, and it looks like we've got some amendments here, and I do appreciate the amendments. I'm guessing that you guys are probably just figuring this out. I'm looking at the ones on the fees that are being assessed. So is the attachment two, is that accurate? Is that, I mean, do we have all of the events now? I ask only because it's changed since January 18th to now. So,
sure, Madam Chair and members, you know, I think what's changed is our understanding of the expectation with the language, the reporting language that was put in place last session, and we certainly want to be transparent with the legislature. So whether or not we maybe want to clarify that or tweak that, is that going forward that what would make sense and what was expected was that by August 1st of each year we would report on the prior fiscal year. That gives us a month each year to do the report. So that's what we initially responded to. Obviously, there was no activity in that prior fiscal year, certainly no fee activity because the Capitol wasn't even open in that way to the public. So what you have here is it's certainly intended to be accurate in answer to your question. And as you can see, so, you know, this supplements what we first sent you with, giving the information not only from prior to July 1st, but fully from July 1st to the end of the calendar year. And this is what we have records of.
Can you do me a favor then on that, B? And I kind of share the same sentiment that Representative Detmer has, is that I want to make sure that we have an established policy. I understand that you're trying to work through some of those issues, but I want to actually see a written policy, and I think for me it would be helpful to get some verification and clarification of the events that happen in the attachment one. These are all the events that were not charged a fee. If you could just verify, and you could just send this to myself and my staff, that all of these events that are reported here did not serve alcohol and were not held outside of the business hours. So if you could give greater details on each one of these events, that would be helpful for me going forward. And then I'd like to, at some point, sit down and talk with you about that policy and getting that set up in place. I do have you on my list, Shirley, of someone to meet with, but I'm on legislative assistant number 3 in a month's time, so I got to give her some time to get herself caught up. I also was just curious. I got to tell you, I've got a nephew that's getting married on Labor Day, and he proposed to his girlfriend of too many years, as all the aunts say, in December. And they had a deuce of a time of finding a space, and so consequently they're actually having their wedding on Labor Day, which is, in my mind, don't tell them this, but I think it's like the worst day possible to have your wedding. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be there.
The microphones are on, you know.
I know, right? Fortunately, he doesn't watch this stuff. But, I mean, I the wedding part kind of popped out at me. Was this a situation where their wedding location fell through? Because I know it usually takes a year to 2 years to find a location. But you've got the July 8th and 9th wedding, and I know the law just came into effect on July 1st. So were they hoping on a wing and a prayer that, I mean, who watches that the legislature is going to be available for as a wedding venue? So.
Madam Chair, in this particular case, I think it might have been people who were close enough to what happens in our beltway, if you will, that they were aware that the Capitol was going to, they were paying closer attention that the Capitol was going to be open, and they reached out to us. Again, that's not being a typical, or actually I wouldn't even consider it a wedding venue. I think that's how we, unless Lenore, you have more to add, I think it was perhaps happenstance that they, and actually, I think one of them might have been, come to think of it, that some other venues were falling through or having a hard time, but I can't speak.
So it was two weddings?
I think there was two events.
I think that, Madam Chair, Lenore Madigan, Deputy Commissioner of Admin, I think the July 8th and 9th event was one wedding.
Okay, so like a groom supper and the actual ceremony then.
Madam Chair, that's my understanding.
Wow. I feel sorry for the mom and mom-in-law because that's cutting it close. I don't even know how you get invitation. I mean, nowadays, I've already gotten the save the date for this wedding coming up. I can't imagine doing this to your guests. That's remarkable. Wow. Okay. Well, on those piece then, too, on attachment two, I'd like to get greater details on, you've got some of the events, but I'd like to know who the people were who paid for it. And then also just, so talk to me about, I'm not understanding the whole piece about the deposits. So for each of the individuals, I'm looking for the dates, the times, the people that are involved. And then I'm not understanding the deposit piece on it. Can you give me greater details on what you mean? Just because I view a deposit as you're just putting money in case you have wedding crashers come in or whoever come in and damage the property, and then they get their money back. Is that your intent, or are you actually charging a fee? Can you help me out on that?
Sure. Madam Chair and members, just the conversation of the last couple minutes, I do know and have in my notes that of the after-hours events, six of them did have alcohol. I don't know which
did or did not.
Did.
Okay.
And we can follow up and have that conversation with you, as you asked, in terms of which specific ones. So I think that would be six of the ones on the attachment two that had fees of them. And then in general, and then I think Ms. Madigan will be able to help me flesh this out. I think it's important to kind of overview how this all works. Our general administration of the Capitol complex and its spaces and uses has, well, we modernized it, actually, so that it's easy to find. There's a very convenient reservation system now online. But otherwise, the process has remained pretty much the same in that if you want to use the Capitol for, or most of the events, days on the Hill and that sort of thing, all of those folks generally pursue a permit from the Department of Administration. That's how entities verify and know that they'll have space reserved for them and any setup and that sort of thing, whether it be inside or outside. And as part of that process, we have a standard set of policies, which we can provide to you, a policy template that we provide to everyone. So all of that is written down and formalized. And then depending upon what the applicant describes and indicates as their desired uses of the space and what time frame they want, we go from there. That's where we would kind of bifurcate to, is this after hours? What is the requester seeking? And from there, we would then proceed to evaluate on a case-by-case basis. Is this something that looks like the requester should also engage with DPS on? Is this something where they're requesting food or requesting alcohol, which we're going to want some more information on? And do we have enough complete information to feel comfortable? Obviously, first and foremost, our due diligence to be protective of the Capitol and that sort of thing. Equity and fairness is obviously above board. So on the free speech things, I don't get involved. Those are just handled. Everyone gets access to the Capitol. It's about first come, first serve kind of approach. With regard to the deposits, I'm going to phone a friend if I could.
Sure.
Commissioner Madigan, can you help us out?
Madam Chair. The $150 deposit is just that. It's a deposit that goes towards the cost of the event. What I believe we've experienced over the years is that events often cancel, and on a pay event, we're going to spend a lot of time up front setting up a contract, reserving the space, that sort of thing. And so by charging a fee, I think it signals that folks are intending to follow through with the event on a pay event. And so the cost of the fee goes towards the total fee they're assessed. So it's not over and above. It's just part of that. It's something they collect in advance of the event.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a deposit. It's more of a down
more
payment,
like a down
towards
payment.
The overall fee. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, there is language in the contract when they enter into it to where they're accepting responsibility to pay for any damage that would result from their event, but we don't collect a damage deposit.
Okay. And then, so, Commissioner Madigan, so what, is it $150 for all of the entities that were listed here, or does that vary depending upon the size of the group or anything like that?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding it's a flat $150.
Okay.
For event.
And then, Commissioner Madigan, as far, so that's just the $150 down payment.
Mm-hmm.
The additional fees that are on top of that, does that vary depending upon each group? And can you walk me through what those amounts would be?
Sure, Madam Chair. The events vary by location. So depending on what is available space that someone's using, that is what the fee is based on. And we certainly can provide this separately. But for locations like the conference room, the press room, and the vault, that's $160 an hour. For locations where there's going to be food or alcohol, that price goes up and includes locations such as the Justice Dining Room, Governor's Dining Room, and Vault. That goes up to $265 an hour. There's more costs associated with cleaning up, things like that. And then for areas like the Rotunda, the Rathskeller, those events are $400 an hour.
And Commissioner Madigan, I didn't have the time to look up on the online reservation portal. Does that include all of this, these costs itemized like that, you know, per location, or is that entered into once you put down your $150 down payment?
Madam Chair, I believe that it's after a conversation, so we have a better understanding of the event, number of attendees, that sort of thing. If an event in the say the Rotunda was exceeding 500 people and it was after hours, we would want to assess what those costs really were. So it's after a discussion, and then I believe the division provides an estimate to the applicants so they know what their costs will be.
So, Commissioner Madigan, so the rates that you gave me earlier could vary depending upon the size and any other factors at all?
I think the size of the event in the Rotunda, over 500 people, is the one place where I know that fee could vary. The other factors, which I tried to summarize when I shared the information with you, are really whether or not there's food or alcohol. Those are the driving factors of the cost of an event.
To say that if the actual food or alcohol charges, as I indicated earlier, would be are billed separately and would be in addition to that. And obviously, this is the specific area where we know we'll have to learn and monitor and adjust over time with experience. The intent of these rates, obviously, is to simply cover costs associated with after-hours non-event event-related, fee-related uses of the capital. And so it may be over time that these need to be, it may be that this isn't exactly the best model, actually, over time. It may be that the dollar amounts need to change over time. We have such few events right now that have happened, incidences to gauge it. So there will clearly be efforts over time to look at it.
I think what would be helpful for me, Commissioner Madigan, if you can provide us with that list, I want to be able to provide that to the members. And then if you can include any caveats that, whether it's by size, the food, the alcohol, and then what your best guesstimate would be on how that would change the amount that people would be charged for the different spaces. I think that would be helpful for us. Again, going back to the attachment to if you can provide description on the amount that was charged to each one of these entities, the logic behind it, too, if you can get a little background as you're kind of developing this. I think just to understand where you're at from the get-go would be helpful. And then the other thing that I wanted to, what is the client event on August 23rd? What is that about, Commissioner?
Madam Chair, members, I don't have additional detail on that with me.
Ms. Madigan, or Commissioner Madigan?
Madam Chair, I do not either.
Okay. I'll look for that when you guys give us the greater details on who and what and where and all that good stuff.
I think, Madam Chair, probably what is happening here, and I don't know the details. Obviously, the intent in putting this together was that we didn't necessarily want the public conversation, although it probably is public information. And so we're happy to, we can go back and look that up. It was just recognition that these that folks probably didn't ask for to be specifically part of this conversation necessarily, but we can make the information available.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. I've got Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So from the time that I signaled I had a question or questions, Chair Anderson was on a roll.
I'm sorry.
And so I have many of the questions answered, and I'm really excited about this. And I have a feeling that when there is some sort of a published schedule or just the fact that there's marketing done to the fact that this is a venue, a spectacular venue that's available for rent, I have a feeling that there's going to be just a huge demand. And I'm just wondering, like I was just wondering, what is after hours? You know, Saturday, Sunday, I'm visualizing a wedding setup and the public being here, touring the Capitol and whatnot, but then a wedding being held and the setup and all of that. I'm just kind of wondering what that might look like.
So on the last night of session, are we going to have a wedding happening? Commissioner?
Madam Chair and members, I think we would never schedule that for an expectation of your regular legislative session hours. I'll leave that there. I believe the hours of the Capitol during the, so again, it varies throughout the year, but when the legislature is not in session, the hours of the Capitol are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 to 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. And the only other comment I would make or, I would suggest that we have another fabulous venue, the Minnesota Historical Society, and the incredible building there. And I know that they do a lot of renting of that facility, so they maybe have a template for the cost of how to market that. I think they do a great job of renting that space, and I'm just wondering if that might not be something to take a look at.
Commissioner, and we also do have Mr. Kelleher here from the Historical Society as well.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative, I won't speak on behalf of the Historical Society, but I think they've made they have a fantastically effective business model on use of their space, and I'm not sure that all of it would apply to the approach we want to take here, because I think they do approach things a bit more of marketing more aggressively, kind of as a banquet space or making their spaces available. But a point well taken. We can talk to them.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And also, excuse me, Madam Chair. Also, obviously, they're a private entity, as you know, even though we work very closely with them at the state level. So, I suspect that they're partly in the business of having it be a profit center, but I don't know, but they're obviously a private entity where we're not. So I want to be clear that the expectation of the law here and what our effort will obviously be to be compliant with that law is to match up the costs with the revenues that come in from the fee.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I think it could be a very different operation in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, too, Commissioner, have you received any feedback from the local, banquet hall is the correct term, but any other facilities that might be used for the same purpose? Any concerns or expressed by the private?
None that I've heard of, Madam Chair.
Because I do think that we need to be wary of that. This is not for a profit-making deal. And then to that point, I know on the fiscal note, your goal is to cover the one FTE. Did you hire someone additional? And if so, we're not on track as far as the $100,000 for that. Can you talk to me about that at all?
Madam Chair and members, we have not at this point. The activity is too anemic. I think those things go together at some point. When you have a person who's better able to and has the time and dedicated time to field questions, it might make a difference in how many events that it can happen, but we also don't want to be ahead of ourselves, so we have not filled the position in that regard at this point, and we'll be cautious and take some more time to see what the demand is first, I think.
And so, Commissioner, for the cost that the agency has incurred, where, what pot would that have come out of then to cover for the events that you've had so far? Ms. Madigan, or Commissioner Madigan?
Madam Chair, it comes from the Department of Administration's leases, and for Helen's benefit, the 5400 fund.
Say that again?
The 5400 fund, it's the leases activity in the biennial budget.
Okay. All right. Okay. Members and Representative Omar.
Thank you, Chair. This is really exciting. I was actually also thinking the same thing about how somebody gets to know they must probably work here or something. So, but I wanted to understand a sentence here that didn't really make sense to me. It says that you've all collected the deposit, but you have not collected the fees. From August to December, we are now in March. When do you anticipate collecting these fees, and is that part of the contract that they get billed later, and how later? Can you shed some light on to what the structure for that might be?
Commissioner, or whichever one.
Madam Chair, Representative, you're correct. We are behind in billing. We are working on those billings now. Because it's a new operation, we had talked with folks that would lag somewhat. We are preparing to do those billings. I would expect going forward they would be done within 30 days of an event.
Representative Omar?
Yeah, thank you. I just have never seen such a thing. Usually when you have an event at a space, you get your bill either the conclusion of that event or shortly after, and so I was just kind of surprised that there's over 6,000 outstanding that hasn't been collected. So looking forward to hearing how we're moving forward with that.
Commissioner Madigan, so were the people, I assume that they were aware that they were going to be charged, or were they not aware?
Madam Chair, members, everyone is aware they'll be charged and expecting the invoices. They know they're coming.
Okay.
So no surprises.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, members? Thank you, Commissioner, and we'll sit down and talk more about this, and then also some issues dealing with the Nelson Auto as well. We'll have that as part once we get scheduled.
Great. Okay? Thanks, Madam Chair, members.
Members, with that, we are